We have new members in our congregation here to observe the Lord's table with us this evening, and visitors. And I don't think that I've mentioned in a long time where these linens under the elements and covering the elements, where they came from. But they have a special meaning to me and to many of you. During the many trips to Mexico, visit with Brother Walter Groover and Betty, it's been my privilege to go out to literally hundreds of services through the years. Preacher schools, preaching services, in the little church buildings, out in people's yards, under some branches on sticks. And we were in a little village, a pueblo called Tella, where Maximo was pastor. And we had preaching service, and then we observed the Lord's table. They love Christ there, and they're saved and redeemed. We are saved and redeemed as they are. We love Christ as they do. Paul reversed that when he talked about the Gentiles. He said, we'll be saved like they're saved. Not they're saved like we're saved, but they observed the Lord's table. And they had linen, beautiful white linen, exactly like these. The one underneath and the one on top with the bread and the wine and the writings in reference to observing the table in memory of our Lord. And in that setting, everything is so simple. Building simple, the concrete floors, but they make it beautiful. They put flowers and they hang curtains on the windows, and they make the Lord's house and the place where they worship as beautiful as they can and as comfortable. And I saw these linens, like these, on the table. And I knew that somebody in the church had worked long and hard to make those, sew those by hand. And I asked Brother Walter who made them. He said, Victoria. Kevin, you remember Victoria? Beautiful Mexican lady. So lovely. Love Christ, love the gospel. Faithful. Years and years and years and years. Baked us a cake one time when we were down and brought it to church. But she made those by hand. And I said, and that's the way to get things, you know, is I didn't mean it that way at all. I said, I'd love to have some of those for 13th Street Church. Well, a few months passed, and Victoria made us a set of these linens for the Lord's table. And we've used them, I don't know how many years, 10, 12, 15 years, we've had these linens. Well, she got cancer about 4 or 5 years ago and just wasted away, just so sick and so thin, and finally died with cancer. And the Lord's table is very special to me, and everything about it, and your gathering here, and our being together, and our Lord, the host, and eating the bread, drinking the wine in His memory. But then also think of believers, brethren, sisters all over the world, and this kind of brings them to me as we're observing this table, that His sheep and His people are in all countries, and that which unites us is Him whom we believe, and His precious blood and His body which is broken for us. And so as we gather here tonight to observe the Lord's table, God's people everywhere are gathering in the same name, taking the same bread, the same wine, for the same purpose, on the same foundation, with the same hope, and the same assurance and confidence in him whom we love. And our Lord commanded us to gather, around this table. And as far as I can determine from the scriptures, in years of looking into the Word of God and preaching the gospel, as far as I can tell, our Lord only left his church these two ordinances. As far as I can determine from his words and from the writings of the apostles in the epistles, that only two ordinances were given to the church to be observed until he comes, and that is baptism and the Lord's table. Our Lord commanded the disciples when he gathered them together before he went back to the Father. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." This is a command. You go and preach the gospel and make disciples, and you baptize them. That's a command. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Brother Ronnie was reading this, Luke 22. Turn over there with me. And our Lord took the bread and the cup, in verse 17 of Luke 22, and he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, "Take this, divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I'll not eat of the fruit of the vine, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And Paul, the apostle, in 1 Corinthians 11 said, "What the Lord gave me, what I received of him, I deliver to you." That the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and said, "As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes." So there are two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table, commanded of our Lord. Now the religious world and church organizations today have many religious ceremonies and holy days which they observe, which I cannot find in the scriptures. I cannot find any command to do this, these ceremonies and ordinances which they carry on in the name of religion. It cannot be found in the scriptures, cannot be found in the epistles. Like, for example, Christmas, and getting together once a year and celebrating the Lord's birth as it's being done. I don't find the Lord commanding us to do that anywhere in Scripture. And Easter. I know the early church rejoiced in the resurrection. In fact, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, is the day he arose. And that's the day that early church met to worship, to preach the gospel on the day of the resurrection. But it wasn't a special observance every year which is moved according to the moons or something. It sometimes in March and sometimes it's in April. It changes every year. So the Lord didn't command that. Lent, which is a big celebration, doing without certain things, fasting once a year, Good Friday, these things are never mentioned by the apostles in the writings to the early church. I don't find anywhere that these men, the pastors and other people, took pilgrimages to Jerusalem to visit the grave site and Bethlehem's manger and Golgotha's hill. I don't find that they went away from Jerusalem rather than going to Jerusalem. They didn't. And keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, nowhere are we commanded in the New Testament to keep the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath. And the wearing or displaying of crosses. You can read every epistle over and over and over again, and you'll never get any slight indication that any of these people wore any type of identifying garb to designate them as believers and Christians. However, I do find constantly the observance of baptism. For example, turn to Acts chapter 2. This was after our Lord arose from the grave, appeared to the disciples for 40 days, ascended back to heaven, and here Peter preached the first message after that, Pentecost, and it says in verse 38, "Then Peter said to them," the people that heard him, and inquired as to what they should do, "he said, you repent and be baptized. You're commanded to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, without exception, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Deliver yourselves from this perverse, crooked generation." Then, listen, "they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls." Listen. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread." What breaking of bread? Our Lord took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." The breaking of bread is they met to observe the Lord's table. They were baptized and observed the Lord's table. Now, turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And you know the many examples of baptism throughout the book of Acts. But here in Acts 20, verse 7. "And upon the first day of the week," that's the day of his resurrection, "when the disciples came together to break bread, to observe the Lord's table, to remember his death," Paul preached to them. They came together that day, especially to break bread. And then Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech, and continued his speech unto midnight. And then I quoted you, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And this is where I'll take the title of my message tonight. 1 Corinthians 11. It says here in verse 26, Paul's instructions. I quoted the earlier verses where Paul instructed them about observing the table. Then he says in verse 26, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." And that's, I'm calling this message, "Showing his death until he comes." Now, before the men distribute the elements, I want to talk to you about this Blessed Supper. And it's like I said to someone today, there's no better worship service than to worship around the table of the Lord together. No more meaningful service. And I want to talk to you about what this supper means to me and to you and to every believer. And you can jot these things down if you'd like to. I think they're very important. The first table, marking the end of the Passover and the beginning of the Lord's table, was in Luke 22, which was just read to us by Brother Traban. And that first table gives us really all we need to know about the observance of the Lord's table, how to observe it, and the meaning. First, those present were all believers. Those present were all believers. They were his disciples, men who believed the gospel. He said to them, to those who knew him and who loved him, "This do in remembrance of me." When he gave them the bread and the wine, they drink, eat it and drink it. "And this do in remembrance of me. One cannot remember what he doesn't know. One cannot remember what he hasn't experienced. And so Paul says, how does he hedge the table about? He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Not leave it to me to examine people, or you to examine one another, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. And this examination is to look into our minds and determine if we know him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know him. I want to know him better, but I do know him. I know whom I have believed. I know who he is, whence he came, what he did, and where he is now. I know it. It's to examine our hearts. Do we love him? I inquire of my mind, do you know who he is? This Jesus of Nazareth? Yes. Do you love him? I can say with the Apostle Peter, Lord, you know I love you. Not like I ought to. Not like I want to. Not like I will someday. But I do love you. And you know that. It's to examine my faith. Do I believe him? Do I believe the account which God gives concerning his son? Do I believe his word? Like Abraham of old, I believe God. Oh, I say with the centurion, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. But I do believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe. It's to examine my soul. Do I trust him? Have I, as Paul said, committed my all that I am and have and hope to be to him? All my trust, Wesley wrote, on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. To whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So I examine myself again. My mind, I know who he is. My heart, I do love him. My faith, only in him. I believe God. My soul, I've committed to him. I trust him. Believers. And another thing about these believers, no one was appointed to officiate over them. Peter was not designated to officiate at this table. The Lord's the host. It says here in verse 14 of chapter 22, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. There was no one standing there in a gaudy robe, elevated above the others, but the Lord sat with them. He was the host. He prepared the table. He himself is the bread, and he himself is the wine, and he does the serving. He said, I am among you as he that serveth. He served. It's no grand function. They weren't on their knees in front of him. They were sitting at the table with him. It was no complicated ceremony. It was a common meal, a common everyday meal, a table with bread and wine, simple elements. And they sat about, lovers of Christ, and he of them. And they ate the bread and the wine. And this table, like I told you when I mentioned the linen, can be observed anywhere. In a jungle, in a tabernacle, in a home, in a backyard. Just as long as you have believers. Bread and wine. And these two simple elements tell us a whole lot. As I say, everything we need to know is right here. These two simple elements, unleavened bread and wine. Very simple. In some of the foreign countries where I've been, in Spain, in France, in Mexico, everybody has bread. In most of those countries, wine. Fruit of the vine.
where the grapes are squeezed out and make their homemade wine and their unleavened bread. But these two elements powerfully preach. The bread and the wine, first of all, set forth his incarnation. He said, "This is my body. This is my blood." But God is spirit. God is spirit. God doesn't have a body and blood. God is spirit. But the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, became a man. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were born under the law. And he became a man. The Word was made flesh. This is my body and blood. Secondly, this unleavened bread, and to me, I'm particular about it, and wine, represents his holiness. Common, ordinary bread cannot, to me, represent his holiness because it would corrupt and spoil. But this bread has no leaven. Leaven is a type of evil. And Christ, my Lord, when he took flesh, like our flesh, but it was different. It was without sin. It was without sin. He was perfect. Perfect. His blood had no sin. His body had no sin. Grape juice rots and corrupts and molds. Wine doesn't. Let it sit for days and months and years. And the unleavened bread the same. It pictures my Lord's holiness. Like me, yes. Numbered with the transgressors, yes. Bore our sins, yes. Yes, but had none of his own. And this bread and wine shows his suffering. This bread was made from beautiful wheat. Flowing out there, flowing in the breeze. As the breeze blows across the wheat fields, and it's so gorgeous. But in comes the scythe. Cuts it down. Takes it to the mill, grinds it up. Puts it in the oven and bakes it. Brings it out and breaks it. His body was broken. His body was crushed. His body suffered. His body was baked in the fires of God's wrath. This is my body. You got to break it. And the wine is literally stomped from the grapes, literally squeezed out of the grapes as it flows away from the beautiful grape, separated from the wine and the bread is separated. He gave them first this and then that. And when wine and when the body and the blood are separated, that's death. You separate my blood from this body, I'm dead. And sin brought death. And all of this teaches me. It's such a beautiful picture of my Lord's incarnation, his holiness, his suffering, and his substitution. He gave them the bread and said, "This is broken for you." There's the two, for you, in your stead, so that you won't be broken. This blood is shed for you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. A chastisement of our peace on him, by his stripes, I'm healed. And then the bread and the wine is eaten. It's received in me. In me. And when I take this bread and this wine and eat it and drink it, it's showing Christ in you the hope of glory. Christ on the cross is our substitute and sacrifice, but Christ in you is the life of God. He is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And the life must be received. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life and shall never die." And then I note this statement here that he made. This one statement is the very key to the meaning of this table. "This do in remembrance of me." This do, simply the bread and the wine. Don't make it a gaudy, grand ceremony. But this simply do.
the bread and the wine. Take the bread, break it, give thanks, break it, eat it, the wine, drink it, in remembrance of me. In remembrance. It's not do this in order to be saved. He didn't say that. It's not a saving ordinance. It's not a sacrament. He didn't say this do in order to have your sins forgiven. He said in remembrance. He didn't say this do in order to unite the church in harmony or discipline the church. He didn't give it for that reason. He didn't say this do in order to continue the sacrifice. To continue the sacrifice. It doesn't have to be continued. It's finished. Not a mass. It's a memory. He didn't say do this in order to make people feel religious. He said do this in remembrance of me. All right. What do I remember? How do I remember Christ? Well, first, when I take this supper, I remember him as my substitute, my representative, my redeemer. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. As in Adam I die, in Christ, my substitute, my representative, I'm made alive. By one man's disobedience, I was made a sinner. By another man's obedience, I was made righteous. I remember him, my substitute. Secondly, I remember him as my sacrifice, my one sin offering. By one offering, he perfected forever this sinner and all these sinners out here. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, for he hath made him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's my sin offering, my sacrifice, my righteousness, my wisdom, my sanctification, my redemption. I remember him as my high priest, who went not into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself, not with the blood of animals, but with his own precious blood, and obtained not a temporary forgiveness, but eternal redemption. My high priest. I remember him as my mediator, for John said, when we sin, we have a mediator with God, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who ever lives to make intercession for us. And I remember him with thanksgiving. Would you listen to something very important here? You come to Christ for salvation, just like you come to this table. Not anybody here brought anything. It was already prepared. Not anybody here brought anything. You didn't even bring it. It's already prepared. When I come to Christ, I come in my hands, no price I bring. I contribute nothing to this table, to this redemption, to this salvation, to this sacrifice. Nothing but an appetite. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. You brought nothing. Secondly, in a moment you receive this bread and wine inwardly. It was not sprinkled on you. It was not held by you. It was not worn on you. It was received in you. That's the way you receive him in here. In here. Freely, inwardly, watch it now. Personally. I'll take this bread and wine, but not for you. You'll take it, but not for me. You'll take it, but not for her. And she'll take it, but not for you. Personally. I believe the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know, Joshua says, about everybody else, but it's for me. My house. We belong to him. And that's the way you come to Christ. You say, well, how does a man say, just like you come to this table, you don't bring anything. You receive him inwardly. And you've got to receive him. Now, he'll give you the grace and the will and the desire, and he serves. But, Lord, I believe. And I'd like for my every friend I have to know him, to love him, to believe him. But I cannot believe Father. Nor can they for me. Got to be personal. In a moment, the men will pass the bread and the wine. That's between you and him. And I know preachers and churches have quibbled for years about who should be there and who shouldn't. Frankly, I don't waste my time worried about that. I'm here. You're here. And he's here. And I know him and love him and believe him and trust him. Do you? Then take and eat. This is my body broken for you, blood shed for you. And then we remember him how? We remember him as our substitute, our sacrifice, our mediator, our great high priest, with thanksgiving. And listen, we remember him expectantly till he comes. He's coming back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Now you gather with other believers around this table and you take this bread and bless it and break it and eat it. You. And you take this wine and bless it and drink it. It's my body, my blood broken and shed for you. And you do it till I come. How long are we going to do it? Till he comes. How often? As often as you do. Till he comes. Till he comes. And you do show. You show the Lord's death. Show it to whom? To God. To myself. To my brethren. To my children. Lord, at thy table, I behold the wonders of thy grace. But most of all, I'm thankful that I find a welcome in this place. I that am defiled with sin, a rebel was I to God. I crucified his son and trampled on his blood. What strange, amazing grace is this that such a man finds room. My Savior takes me by the hand. My Lord bids me to come. And Lord, had I 10,000 hearts, I'd give them all to thee. If I had 10,000 tongues, they'd join in the harmony. My Lord and my Savior.